Los Angeles friendos, join Going In Raw as we go live on stage with Wrestling With Regrets' Brian Zane September 24th at the Nerdist Showroom in L.A. The link to tickets is in the description.
This is Charlotte, and you're watching Going In Raw. That sounds terrible.
What's up? This is the most must-see WWE superstar of all time and his lovely, gorgeous wife.
Marie.
And you are going in Raw.
What's up? It's your girl, Sasha Banks, the legit boss, and you are watching Going In Raw.
Oh, baby, I like it raw. Oh, baby, I like it raw. And you are tuned in to Going In Raw right now. How you doing?
Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you need to be listening to right here at youtube.com/Steve and Larson. And available wherever fine podcasts are. Be sure to hit that little subscribe button and the notify bell on YouTube. And, of course, over there in the iOS podcast app, leave a review and a rating for us, because that helps check us up in the rankings there on the podcast, on the iTunes podcast app.
Are you going to shout out those individuals who have left reviews of late?
Prior to questions today, yes. I'm
there. You go.
Read off a bunch of these names here. Dare I say all these names here before questions?
Okay.
It's the NXT 205 live show, so things are a little bit more laid back here.
Especially this week when there wasn't much to NXT.
Oh, my gosh.
This is pretty much a 205 Live recap.
Exactly. Because 205 Live was actually really good.
Yeah, it was. Where else are we at?
Patreon.
Patreon.com/Steven Larson.
47 people watching right now. I did this for the dollar patrons also this week because there was an NXT takeover.
There was a takeover.
Therefore, they get the recap after the thing.
After a pay-per-view, right?
Exactly. So the $5 patrons, though, we had chat trivia yesterday, Larson.
Yes.
Alto Votalhe,
yes,
won chat trivia.
Yes.
He moves on
to the Tournament of Champions.
That's correct. And that's only available to patrons.
Yep.
$5. Oh, yesterday was a dollar. So if you snuck in your dollar, you could have won. But $5 and up gets access to 3 live streams every single week, exclusive to those patrons. And on the Wednesday show, chat trivia.
Correct.
Chance to win stuff.
Yep.
Hang in there long enough, and eventually you will win something, because once you've won, you can't repeat.
Correct.
Yeah.
You have to wait till Tournament of Champions.
That's right.
To advance.
That is correct.
We're also at Pro Wrestling Tees at ProWrestlingTees.com/Going In Raw. Right now, we're maxed out for designs.
Mm-hmm.
We need to sell more shirts so we can put up more designs.
Yeah, that's correct. And also, you guys probably saw the new intro card thing. We're going to be on stage with Brian Zane from Wrestling With Regret. September 24th is Day of No Mercy. So if anybody's going to be in L.A. September 24th for No Mercy, many hours before that at 1 p.m., we're going to be there on the Nerdist Shore at the Nerdist Showroom in Meltdown Comics there in L.A.
Mm-hmm.
So the link to that event, the tickets are in the description.
Correct.
Of this very video.
Yes.
Yeah. So
let's talk about 205 Live.
Yeah, let's do it.
And right
then,
now.
And then, here's my thing. I can't decide if the NXT, like the weekly TV show proper there at Full Sail, is my favorite version of NXT, or if the Takeover recap show is my favorite.
I feel like you're having a laugh at my expense.
Because sometimes the... how ridiculous the post-takeover NXT is
and
makes
this one,
me
this one
makes
especially
me laugh so
reveled
hard
in ridiculousness.
They even tried to fit some story in there with Noah Jose and Lars Sullivan. But we'll talk about that in a bit. 205 Live, yeah, it was actually a good episode. It was the first one after SummerSlam, so it featured the rematch between Akira Tozawa and Neville for that NXT that 205 the Cruiserweight Championship.
There you go.
And there is a surprise debut on 205
Live. Oh, dear.
Live.
How you doing? Let's start from the top, though.
How we'll get to that.
We'll get to that in a little bit. Tag match opened the show. Cedric Alexander and Grand Metalik,
mm-hmm,
versus Tony Nese and Drew Gulak. Rematch from a match that happened last week.
Yeah.
Again, quality stuff. Tony Nese is fantastic. His bit at the top of the ramp, when he was making all sorts of muscle puns.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that was good.
I texted you what I said. I said, Tony Nese is a treasure.
Yep.
I love the muscle puns, man.
Yeah, that was good.
You're going to have to deal with you're going to be dealt with.
He referenced his delts,
you're
going to
get trapped.
And what else did he reference?
I forget the first one I missed because I didn't realize what he was doing at first.
It was so good, though.
I think he was a bicep wrestler. But I don't know. He did the thing with his arm, and it was like muscles.
Yeah, he's got muscles
and
on muscles.
Yeah, he's so much more comfortable. That theme song is, I think, very quickly becoming my favorite theme song in the WWE right
now.
When
you go to
the
gym, just listen to that in a
loop. I know. I need to load it up on here.
And then you'll look like Tony Nese in no time.
And then I'm going to start telling people that they're here in the gym for 8 reasons. And then I'll look down and in shame, and I'll be like, they're in there somewhere. I'm sure there's a couple reasons in there. My dad was here just hanging out, doing nothing, watching 205 Live with me, and he got a kick out of the 8 reasons that people are there. I love Tony Nese. Talk about the perfect example of a guy who has come so far in such a little time. Tony Nese, who is basically just another good-looking body, now great, arrogant,
very well-established character.
Exactly. Anyways, he was teaming up with Drew Gulak to take on Cedric Alexander and, oh, Grand Metalik.
Yeah, another really fun match.
I can't say that name unless I'm doing more over now.
Oh, I know. Voice.
It was a lot of fun. Lots of cool stuff. Grand Metalik, once again, showing why he's... He doesn't even look that athletic, but, man, the stuff that he does is so great. Like, getting to, like, doing the bit that him and Tony Nese do, and they've done it a couple times. Tony Nese will, like, slide out of the ring as... Grand Metalik.
He jumps up and does a springboard moonsault off the top rope at the outside.
Oh, it's beautiful. It's so beautiful. These days I always get freaked out. I'm like, man, aren't his knees killing him? Because
I know. Well, one time he did a top rope move and landed. Was that him or somebody else that landed on his feet? It was him, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think it was him.
Or was it Neville? It was Neville later on. Sorry.
Oh, was it?
Yeah,
okay.
It was Neville later on.
All right.
Anyways, the synchronized tope con hilos.
Oh, man.
That Grand Metalik and Cedric Alexander did. Fantastic.
Oh, they're fantastic. They're so much fun. I always like crap. Who? What's the Twitter account that puts up all those great GIFs? It's like the TDE wrestling or something like that.
Yeah,
I don't know what it is. But man, it's so fun to watch. Like, they always have like really, really high quality.
Oh, I know.
GIFs of they all do. That stuff.
Cedric Alexander picked up the win after giving Drew Gulak the lumbar check. Not as good a sell as Tony Nese.
Well, yeah, nobody. I mean, that's a really high bar that was raised there with Tony Nese.
Yeah, so far Tony Nese and Noam Dar sell the lumbar check better than anybody.
Oh, they do.
Spectacular. Next, backstage, Titus O'Neil and Akira Tozawa in the locker room. Titus was trying to plead with Akira, wait, don't do your rematch now.
Yeah,
wait.
Well, he says he said I'm disappointed that you decided to do this now. And then Akira put his nerves at ease by saying, I'm ready to go right now. He had a very confident attitude, and that turned around Titus O'Neil. He says, here I was all worried about you, and you're confident as can be. And then he said, give me, what did he say, 2 claps and a Ric Flair. And so they clapped twice and went, woo. It was cool. It was very smooth.
Yeah, it was.
I liked it. It was awesome.
Next, Brian Kendrick and Jack Gallagher were supposed to have a gentleman duel. So Jack Gallagher comes out.
It's back into being terrible.
Yeah,
it's
Jack Gallagher comes out, terrible. Drops a promo. Brian Kendrick shows up on the Titantron and says, look at you.
Mm-hmm.
You're in the ring with all those things. Like there was a candlestick, an umbrella.
Like a lead pipe or something?
Yeah,
a
yeah.
wrench?
And it says,
a candlestick. Says,
you standing there with all that stuff. That confirms what I've been saying all along, that you are just a clown. I don't know how that confirms anything.
Sorry, this harkens back to the Twitter account with all the gifts. It was TDE Wrestling at Total Divas Eps on Twitter. They always post like really, really high quality
gifts. Yeah, really good stuff. So Kendrick's on the Titantron, says all stuff. Out comes a clown.
Literally a clown. He even had his own Titantron package.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just a picture of a generic clown face.
Yeah, it's probably some clip art or something like that.
Did you find out who this clown was?
I heard it was Ario Divari.
I heard it was Drew Gulak's brother.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I could be wrong about this. Hold on. 205 Live Clown. And tell the people what happened. I'll look this up.
Okay. So the clown comes in, starts doing some clown stuff. Jack Gallagher headbutts the clown.
Mm-hmm.
Jack Gallagher takes all the stuff off the table. Sets up for a power bomb. Brian Kendrick comes in.
Indie wrestler Rory Gulak, younger brother of Drew. Okay. Because I heard the same thing, but before that I had heard it was Gulak's brother.
Okay. Thanks for clearing that up. No, I'm serious, because I heard it was Ari Daivari, and I was paying attention.
I know, me too. I thought that doesn't look right.
Yeah, the hair is not the same. Yeah.
Well, yeah, Ari Daivari doesn't have a colorful afro.
Well, no, I mean, like, the wig came off.
I know.
So Gallagher...
Come on, I couldn't leave that one alone.
Gallagher... Gal, I'm trying to do a recap for the people out here, Steve.
Whoa.
And you're sidetracking me.
I know, man. What the H?
Gallagher.
All your good, everybody's commenting, man, ever since Larson got back from vacation, he's been in a good mood.
Oh, that's all
gone.
Evaporating.
Yeah.
Gallagher tries to put the clown through the table via powerbomb. Kendrick runs in, attacks Gallagher, and puts Gallagher through the table via powerbomb.
He beat the crap out of Gallagher, too, with that umbrella at first. He was wailing away.
So Kendrick grabs a mic, drops a promo, and says, next week, Kendrick versus Gallagher, no DQ.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Hopefully that'll be the end of this feud.
I'm sure that'll be a good match, and yes, I hope that it's the end of this feud, because, man, it's no bueno. It's not that good. Backstage, TJ Perkins was playing some WWE 2K17. Rich Swann comes back there, and he's like, you know, he's like, what's going on? And
TJ, why'd you come out last week and distract me?
Yeah.
And TJP said, well, I wasn't trying to distract you. I came out. I didn't know they were going to play my Titantron or music. I just came out to say, hey, look, I'm injured because of our match last time.
Yeah.
I thought TJP's delivery throughout this whole thing was really good.
Me too. I know. It was actually kind of, he was convincing in the way that he's supposed to be convincing.
Yes.
It was good. I liked it. Anyways, Rich Swann said, okay, well, he says, you know, stay back here for this match that I'm about to have. And wait.
No, he didn't have a match last night.
No, he didn't have a match. What did he say? He said, at the end, he said, heal up. For our rubber match.
Yeah. Well, he said he was going to have a match with Arya Daivari. I assume that's next week.
Oh, okay. That's next week.
But they didn't
okay.
specify that. So I was expecting a match between the two of them. And then they cut to Neville walking backstage towards the ring and said the Cruiserweight title match was next.
Rich Swann needs to get rid of those glasses.
Yeah, I agree.
They
don't look comfortable.
They don't. It looks like it just got wrestling.
It does. It just wrestling on the top of the nose.
That's
it does.
Not good, man.
It doesn't look comfortable.
It can't be comfortable at all.
It does not look comfortable at all.
We're in the phase of our lives when comfort is number one.
Well, it doesn't seem comfortable, and it doesn't seem like they would be effective for their intended use, which is to block out the sun.
And more importantly, it doesn't add to his character. It detracts from his character. It doesn't do anything for him.
They look uncomfortable. They look like effective sunglasses.
I missed the 2 weeks when he seemed to care about comfort by going to Walmart and getting those pants.
Yeah.
I missed those days. Wrestling in your underwear can't really be comfortable.
Or maybe it is.
Maybe it is. What do I know?
Not much.
You know, after I had my lobotomy, I had to wear, like, tidy whities. I mean, they weren't whities. They were, like, I got dark shades, you know, but they're tidy versions.
Yeah.
Briefs.
Yes.
Not boxer briefs, which I love.
Briefs.
Briefs.
Yeah.
They're not comfy, man.
Oh, I know they're not. I know. What was next? Oh, the Cruiserweight title match.
Yeah, it's a great match.
Yeah, it was
really
good.
Love the story of this match, man. These guys know each other so well. And it was effectively a match of counters.
Yes.
They were countering each other. And I thought it was a very effective story to be told. Let's talk about what was the story, or what's the deal with them putting the title back on, I'm sorry, with them keeping the title on Neville. Why did Akira have that title for all of a couple days?
I read that Vince was really liking the idea of doing occasional surprising title changes.
Yeah.
In an attempt to generate excitement and perchance pop ratings.
Right. But they seem to have so much faith in, which I'm okay with. I have no problem with that. But kind of makes Akira Tozawa look kind of bad now. Neville, he's just going to be their long-term champ. I mean, which is cool. I love Neville, and you love Neville. We think he's like one of the best.
I have
a shirt on right now. Just kind of interesting that they didn't decide to roll with Neville chasing the title for a longer period of time.
Rather than, 4 days or however long Tozawa had it. I mean, I understand the perspective of Tozawa potentially looking weak, but he more than held his own this entire feud, and it took an arm injury, you know, pretty much for him to lose.
Yeah.
That's what did him in, was the fact that for 4 weeks, 5 weeks, he was dealing with an arm injury.
I absolutely love that they had Neville go over clean here too.
Mm-hmm.
Because, man, that makes him look strong.
Oh, yeah.
That makes him look really strong.
Well, then let's talk about the aftermath of the main event, Steve.
Oh, so, yeah, that's right.
So Neville retains.
Mm-hmm.
And then whose music hits? Enzo Amore.
No, man, I like this. I'll be honest. We could debate this on our debate show if you want.
Here, I'm of two minds. Personally, I don't really care for it. Yeah. But it's good for 205 Live.
That's the only reason
it matters. It's going to get people interested in the show.
It matters. But the line that I do not want to be crossed is, of course, him getting the Cruiserweight Championship. Which,
you know, that's going to happen.
I don't think it's going to happen.
I don't know. I liked Neville's response to him.
I know.
When he was walking up the ramp, he just kind of laughed.
I thought it was great.
Mm-hmm.
I think, dude, regardless of what you think, the crowd popped for 205 Live. If they are, if they get into the habit of popping for a very popular guy to most people on 205 Live, they will associate 205 Live with something that they should be interested in.
I understand that completely. What I enjoy, like I said, personally, I don't like it because from 205 Live, I want that different experience than what we get on most of the other main roster shows.
Yeah.
And I just feel like Enzo really can't compete in the ring with anybody else in that division, and he's going to have a lot of main roster matches.
Well, here's something to consider, and I'm strictly playing devil's advocate. I don't even think that I believe this at all. There is the possibility that we haven't even come close, and I can't believe I'm about to say this. I'll phrase it this way. Enzo might have more than we've ever been allowed to see.
That's possible.
I don't think for a second that he's going to be up there with Cedric or Akira or any of those guys. I don't think that at all. But his entire career has been him being ragdoll until Cass can get the hot tag.
Yeah.
It's incredibly possible that this guy can actually grow as a in-ring performer.
No, that's entirely possible. If
given good opponents.
Yeah, given good opponents and giving a desire on his part to learn and to work at it. Yeah. Totally.
Yeah. I have doubts that he's going to win the title, though, simply because there would appear to be some heat on the guy. And I think, let me ask you this now. Do you think this is a, because I think it's one of the two. I don't think it's both. Is this a demotion for him, or is this their way of trying to pop 205 Live?
You don't think it could be both?
I think one of those reasons is the overriding one, and the other one is
I would like
killing two birds with one stone.
I would like to hope their priority would be popping ratings for 205 Live.
I would like to think that.
But I kind of feel like it might be the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, we're going to send Enzo down to 205 Live as punishment. And then, you know, there's a welcome side effect of that is potentially popping ratings on 205 Live.
I suppose if they sat down and said, what are we going to do now with Enzo? This Cass thing is over, either because that was the Shark Cage team was supposed to be there, or the Brooklyn Street Fight was supposed to be their blow off, or, you know, or Cass is injured, one of the two. What do we do with him? Should we send him down to 205 Live? There's a couple good reasons for that. I would think.
Well, I mean, yeah, you'd like to think that they would sit down and have a reasonable discussion about, all right, what can we do to essentially make the most people happy?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, you're not going to make everybody happy. Let's make the most people happy.
Yeah. I would hate to think that Vince would be thinking.
Apparently, Vince couldn't stand Enzo.
Yeah, and Vince might be thinking that 205 Live would be a demotion. Yes. I would hate that he would think that 205 Live is a place you send people to punish them.
I know.
That would suck, because I really like 205 Live.
Same here. Too. And it shouldn't be looked at as a demotion to go there.
Right, exactly. So And then, you know, that did get me thinking, though. One thing that I liked about it is, you know, his music hits, big surprise. People pop.
Mm-hmm.
205 Live kind of needs more big surprises to get people to pop.
Yeah, it needs buzz.
It needs buzz. And one way to do that is an infusion of talent. I think one thing they really kind of need to do is freshen up their roster a little bit.
A little bit.
You know, if that's sending Cedric Alexander up to SmackDown, which I think would be fantastic.
Yes.
Don't think it's going to happen, but I think it'd be fantastic. That'd be one great way to do that. But they do, you know, Gargano coming to 205 Live, I'd be totally into that. I would be totally into that.
Yeah.
Even a guy like Hideo Itami doesn't have a lot to do left in NXT.
No, not really.
Send him to 205 Live. There needs to be more unpredictability on the show.
Agreed.
For it to pop ratings.
Agreed.
And be exciting.
And like I said, personally, I'm not that excited about it, but if it helps give 205 Live the perception of enhanced star power and creates a buzz about the show, and everybody else in the show benefits because of that, then sure.
Yeah.
I'll give it a chance. Just don't put the belt on him.
Yeah, unless, yeah.
I mean, he has to improve.
I'll put it this way. Don't put the belt on him unless you have a very solid plan that is very entertaining. You know what I mean? I mean, dude, I know there's an element of this title should be for somebody who really deserves to have the title. But if in the end it pops ratings for 205 Live and the belt ends up back on Neville as sort of your foundation, I don't hate it. I'm willing to see what they can do with it. On, you know, here's one thing that we really need to keep in mind is that 205 Live, it feels like a show that is booked differently than main roster.
Oh, definitely.
You know, it feels like a show that they're good with having long-term feuds. Maybe, just maybe, 205 Live Creative can do a lot of good things with Enzo.
That I'm not worried about. The story aspects, the character aspects, I'm not worried about in the least.
Yeah.
It's just the wrestling. And Creative can't do anything about that.
That's true.
They find really creative ways to hide his, what we are assuming are his deficiencies in the ring compared to everybody else on the roster.
Yeah, I mean, here's the bottom line. He's not going to be able to be ragdolled, so he has to do something else. I think he... By who?
Maybe
he's
Neville.
He's taller than Neville.
But Neville looks way more muscular than him.
Ragdoll is by somebody who's got to be like a foot taller than you.
No, not necessarily. Someone who's quite a bit stronger.
You can't be taller than a guy and have him ragdoll you. Unless you're Cheeseburger and it's Scott Steiner or something.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
No, I know. I understand your point of view. I'm just saying, like, Neville could...
We are used to seeing men much larger.
Yeah, I know.
I'm in just saying, size,
Neville,
in height.
If Neville picked them up and threw them over the top rope outside the ring, and Enzo sold like he normally does, that would be a ragdoll.
Look, dude, that would be a ragdoll. I just don't realistically seeing them do that. I'm thinking of, we've been so used to seeing Gallows.
No, I know.
You know, guys
him
like
getting
that.
Destroyed by much larger people.
Yeah,
I
exactly.
That.
And I just don't see that happening in 205 Live. So we're going to be forced to see what he can do. Maybe he can do more than we think he can. I don't know. If his work ethic is his lack, if he's bringing people in a locker room, I love that Vince can't stand it.
Well, I mean, like him going to 205 Live, I guess, will make Vince happy because he's not on Raw.
Mm-hmm.
I would think that Creative at 205 Live would be happy because it's an opportunity for them to pop ratings.
Right.
I don't know if Enzo's going to be happy.
Somebody tweeted us this picture on WWE.com of Alexa Bliss backstage before she goes out with her
Wow, I didn't think she could have
title.
More lose face.
She evidently backstage, she had the most possible lose face.
Wow.
She looks pissed, dejected. Let's talk about NXT now.
Yeah.
So
not much going on.
As you guys know, the post takeover NXTs are always a low point because they film the matches as the dark matches of takeover.
Prior to takeover.
And there's never any new stories going on. This is all they tried, I think, last night to maybe set up a new story. Are we gonna get Lars Sullivan versus No Way Jose?
Maybe. Or they're just setting up Lars as this destructive force.
Maybe something like that.
It wasn't even a match.
Right.
I'm assuming No Way Jose was scheduled to have a match.
Yeah.
But he formed a conga line in the arena.
Yeah.
And then Lars Sullivan came out to break it up.
Right.
Beat him up.
So it's either they're setting him up to be a destructive force or
a program between the two of them.
A program between the two of them. Or Lars Sullivan being done with this whole tag, wanting to be a tag division guy.
It's probably all of that.
I would think it's probably all of that.
Or at least two of the three.
Or at least, exactly, yeah. In any event, it was stupid. It's so silly. Next up, we got a recap of the Gargano...
Almas
match, and then a Gargano, previously unseen Gargano interview.
That was obviously shot before his match. That was like most
Here's
obvious.
Here's the thing about these episodes, though. They're so stupid. But it's so much fun to talk crap about it.
Yeah. I can't remember what he said.
Just all recycled crap that we've already seen on websites.
The best thing was the Asuka press conference.
I did like that.
That was obviously done before her match because...
Oh, no. The best thing. I'm sorry.
Because she wasn't standing there doing this press conference with a broken collarbone. I can tell you that.
I know.
I don't know how I feel.
I was the funny thing is you say that, and I was sitting there looking for it. I was like, if she did this,
she was
like,
whole,
I'm such
the
a
belt
mark.
Was over the collarbone, she would have broken.
I'm such a mark. I'm like, why isn't that collarbone? Like, why isn't she really nursing that thing? You think it like a break would hurt? And I'm the idiot who doesn't realize. Oh yeah, they shot that beforehand.
How do you feel about these press conferences they do?
Oh, I love them because they're so bad. The Aleister Black one was my favorite.
I knew you'd like that one.
Oh, my God, that was my favorite. We'll get to that in a second. So yeah, we had Asuka's press conference where she was
just saying the belt was going to stand
in her very quirky Asuka way with her weird tics and stuff. God, I love Asuka.
She's great.
So much. She's amazing. She's so great.
She's pretty much said no matter who she faces, the belt's going to stay on her.
Her English is really coming along too. Next up, we had the most dejected Pete Dunne Wolfgang interview. Pete Dunne and Wolfgang taking on
Mustache Mountain
for the main event, which you know these guys are going to put on a fantastic match. Why? What is going on with these UK kids?
I don't know.
What is going on with these guys?
They need to make a decision and just do something.
I could give a crap if they're defending this belt. I love Progress Wrestling. I really do. But you know what I want to see in Progress Wrestling? Progress Championships.
Yes.
Not the WWE UK title, which, by the way, is the best-looking title they have. And it's not showing up anywhere. Just do a freaking taping once a month. And roll out the show.
Here's the thing.
Jeez, it's not that difficult.
Based on the pop he got last night, Pete Dunne could be a massive star on the main roster
right
now.
On the main roster at this moment.
Right now. Bring him up. Have him defend that title on the main roster. Why can he only defend it against other wrestlers from the United Kingdom?
Well, it is the UK championship.
When there was a European championship, it wasn't like people from Europe.
That's why you don't do that, because the European championship was a complete joke.
What about the Intercontinental championship?
Well, that's North America, South America.
Universal champion. Brock hasn't defended against anybody else from this universe or from non this planet in the universe.
Well, no challengers have stepped forward. He'll face Shinsuke at some point. Shinsuke is literally an alien. The UK, we're going to debate where the UK title should be on our debate show.
Yes.
Tomorrow. Wrestle War. What are we going
to
do?
No, we can't use that because war will get
my gosh, good point.
The yellow sign.
We should call it family friendly debates about wrestling.
Yeah.
FFDAW Fidal. Anyways,
we'll think of something.
Pete Dunne saying the I don't know, Dasha or whoever it was said, "What's going on with that UK title?" And he said when I beat Tyler Bate for this, there was not a change. He says the UK division began. And now I have it.
And then Wolfgang said, well, after we win this match, how about I get a title shot? And Pete Dunne kind of said, yeah, okay, whatever. That was his attitude.
It really was.
Because we've seen Pete Dunne do awesome promos.
I know.
And it just felt like he was reading from a script.
I know. And Wolfgang looked like he didn't even want to be there. Maybe it's one of two things. Maybe it's jet lag. Because the previous weekend they did the Progress thing, but apparently that was like a massive cluster.
They had one in New York and one in Boston. But then right before the Progress show, Pete Dunne got busted open.
So he couldn't wrestle there.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Maybe they were just sour on their United States experience during that trip.
I would think that they were probably in the States that entire week.
I would think so, too, yeah.
So
yeah.
Maybe they just want to get home.
Maybe they're just thinking, we have this amazing title. We're literally just wasting away doing
nothing.
Maybe
one of the problems or issues they've come up with this UK show is that they only really seem to focus on six wrestlers. It's the four in that match and then Mark Andrews.
And even that is like barely, you know what I mean? It's four guys. Or five, maybe. Like Wolfgang, we really haven't even seen him. It's Mark Andrews and the
British Strong Style.
British Strong Style. That's it.
I mean, that's why they don't have a show, because they only have four wrestlers for it.
They have many other wrestlers. They're not using them. You saw the UK tournament.
Maybe they don't want to be as involved and potentially lose bookings elsewhere. I don't know.
Once a month, do a taping. Six weeks. I'm sorry. If GFW can get their shit enough together to put on a show.
Let's save some of this for our debate on the Friday show.
I have to bleed that out now.
Next, we got a pretty decent match between Peyton Royce and Sarah Logan.
Oh, this was a good match. I love Sarah Logan. Crazy Mary Dobbs.
Yeah.
No, I like her. They did a good job also sort of on social media and I think in the Mae Young Classic thing, the pre-show thing or whatever it is. Bracketology. Sort of establishing her character as like a backwoodsy type person. Like from the movie Deliverance. I'm joking. That's pretty harsh. But no, I like her. I just, what's the deal with her Titantron? How it, like, it has her name small,
and then random letters go to different spots on,
like,
the screen.
Come on.
Yeah, it's real bad.
Like, there's a thing called After Effects, a program that probably has templates.
Maybe that is a template.
No, I think it's like a template from After Effects, like, you know, 2009.
I don't know. I would think at Full Sail they would have state-of-the-art
right?
Adobe Creative Cloud.
You know, that's one thing about that I can say about NXT is that their motion graphics guys, when it comes to the video packages, because the rest of their production motion graphics-wise is top-notch.
Oh, I know. The Titantrons are really hit or miss.
The Titantrons are generally miss. I don't think I've ever seen a Titantron that was a hit. Maybe Aleister Black's. I'm trying to remember what his is. I think that's just footage from his really cool promo thing, the video stuff. But otherwise, like, the fonts they use are really suspect. They're not good. And then when they end up following him to Maine, like Bobby Roode's. I've never liked Bobby Roode's.
Oh, Bobby's doesn't. I don't mind that. Doesn't bother
the
me.
Font is so ugly.
It's just basic.
I know. It's basic. It doesn't. It's not glorious. He doesn't.
They,
go
did,
basic.
They did the bloom effect behind
it. I may defend. If it suits me.
The bloom effect is okay from behind the letters. I don't mind that.
Cheesy.
It's not great. It's better than what he had at TakeOver. That was not good.
Wait, TakeOver?
The last TakeOver. He had a new Titantron.
Did he only have it for that one? Because then when he came back out on Maine.
Okay. Yeah, he did.
I didn't know. I'll have to go back and watch it.
Yeah, it's not good. I think of all the new Titantrons they debuted at TakeOver, only Asuka's was an improvement.
Asuka's was cool. I liked Asuka's, yeah.
But like Ember Moon's, they changed the font. Because her Tron was cool with the kind of handwritten font they had on it.
Oh, I like that. That was okay.
That's all gone.
Oh, really? I didn't even notice that.
Hers was one of the few that were actually, it was actually pretty well done and fairly distinctive.
Okay.
With interesting fonts.
Yeah. No, it was. It was good. But everybody else is the same variation on a very basic font.
And they all seem to be using animation templates for text animation.
I know. Like, what?
Drew's new one isn't bad.
No, Drew's is okay. Drew's new one is okay.
Yeah.
But yeah,
I don't know why they had the letters shoot off randomly in different directions.
That's so bad.
No Way Jose's Tron's pretty good.
Oh, his is great.
Yeah, his is good.
It's exactly what it should be.
Yes.
His is great. Anyways.
Next, Bobby Roode interview after his SmackDown debut. So he said he's going to go back to NXT because he had some unfinished business. He's going to have a blow-off match against Roderick Strong.
Did we talk about the actual match?
Oh, no, it was good. Peyton Royce won with a perfect plex.
Yeah. No, but Sarah Logan, she can wrestle. She's young, too. She can wrestle.
She's like 23 or something like that.
I think she's only 23. She's super young, yeah.
Bobby Roode said...
You know who she's with. You know who her boyfriend is. One half of War Machine.
Oh, really?
I think it's Hanson.
Really?
I think so, yeah. Hmm. Well, I know it's definitely one half of War Machine. I just can't tell one from the other.
The heavier of the two is Hanson. Raymond Rowe is the other one.
Yeah, and I have no idea which one it is that she's with, but she's with one of them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Bobby Roode said he has unfinished business in NXT, blow off with Roderick Strong, and then after that, after he wins, he's going to get that NXT title again.
And they showed like, footage from after his loss at NXT, and he was yelling at his assistant to get the car, and then Bobby Roode, like, makes sex faces at him.
No, Roderick Strong did.
Roderick Strong, I'm sorry, yeah. He was like, and I was like, that's a little off-putting.
Yeah, I didn't get where that came from.
I think he was aiming for one thing, and it completely turned into another thing.
Yeah, I didn't understand the motivation for that at all.
I'm glad. Sometimes, every once in a while, you try to justify something that really just doesn't need justification. I'm glad you're not trying to justify.
No, I'm not trying to justify it because I didn't understand it at all.
Honestly, it kind of reminded me. It felt like a scene. It felt like Buster from Arrested Development.
Well, here's the thing. I don't try to justify things. I try to make sense of them, Steve. And I couldn't make any
sense of
this.
Sometimes you give the benefit of the doubt a little too much, though. I'm glad you didn't hear. That's all I'm saying.
I understand it. I'm always on the search.
I wish Bobby Roode was a bit more. I'm sorry. I'm excited right now. I was a bit more off-put by it.
Yeah, I know. I'm constantly on the search for answers, Steve.
What's your problem? You're kissing? What?
Yeah,
that
was
I want to kiss you, man.
That was weird.
We're supposed to be feuding right now.
Like, was that his way of saying goodbye to him?
He's cool. He might be kissing goodbye. Is that
or
what it
is? Or saying goodbye to the NXT title? I don't get it. I don't understand. See, I'm trying to make sense of it. I'm processing.
And he kind of mumbled something. I know it was audible, but it wasn't that.
Yeah, I don't remember
audible.
What he said. I'm just trying to make sense of it too, and I couldn't.
Made me laugh though.
Aleister Black press conference as he was walking out of the arena in a very fine suit.
Oh my gosh, he looks amazing. And I want to do this to him.
Luggage.
I want to give him a blow him a kiss. I want to blow him a kiss. He looked great. He was walking out, and then all these NXT writers or whoever they were, agents or producers, whatever they were, had like their cheesy either wannabe microphones or iPhones out trying to like ask him questions about his match, and he just walked right past them. But it was so obviously not members of the press.
Yeah.
It was hilarious. I got
it. It was PAs. It
makes me laugh so hard. That stuff cracks me up. I love it.
Next, main event, Wolfgang, Pete Dunne against Tyler Bate and Trent Seven.
Look, this is a really fun match.
It was tons of fun.
It was a lot of fun. It just further illustrates, though. It just completely is just in your face, rubbing in your face. They're doing these dark matches ahead of TakeOver for the crap TakeOver recap episode. And I'm just thinking, why don't they just, look, get Regal, send him on a plane, have them supervise these tapings, and then put on a damn show. You can have a show for every other thing in your stupid company, but you can't have the UK show that we all need.
I read somewhere that before Pete Dunne's injury, there was going to be an unannounced UK title match at TakeOver.
Oh, really?
And then he got hurt. So maybe they had the tag match just to kind of protect Pete Dunne a little bit, let his brow heal up.
If that's the case, he was doing all sorts of great. I mean, I know it's a Pete Dunne match. He's going to give 110%. And maybe in a tag match, like you said, they can protect him a bit more. But that's kind of ridiculous. Like, the guy can go, then have him go.
Agreed.
Know? I mean, he put on a 5-star match with freaking Tyler Bate.
And the beginning of this match where they were in the ring, all that really fast wrestling.
So good.
Phenomenal.
I know. It's so good. And they're just standing there. And you can even look on the, like, when Mustache Mountain was like walking like through the bowels of the arena or coming to the gorilla or whatever, and they have the camera on them, you can tell, like, you can just see the looks on their faces are like, I mean, they're kind of goofing with each other.
Yeah, but you can definitely tell they thought this was all going to lead to one thing, and it hasn't been.
Right,
that
exactly.
At all.
It's been forever. When did when was the UK tournament?
January.
Man. And the crowd was so hot for that.
Oh, Pete Dunne got a massive pop last night. Massive.
Oh, yeah.
He can go up to Maine right now and be a huge
oh,
star.
Oh, man. So big. Like, remember when we were 24. Talking about like the possibility of that new Evolution stable? Yeah. Kevin Owens, Samoa Joe, Triple H,
and
then
Pete
bringing
Dunne.
Pete Dunne. How perfect would that have
been?
Great.
It'd
been all the perfect.
That let's answer some questions, Steve.
Yeah, let's answer some questions. Oh, wait a second. First, before we answer questions,
that.
I want to do this. All right, so I'm gonna give these shout-outs to people putting stuff on the – on the iTunes reviews. I'm going to do this as fast as I can because there's a lot of names here. Jay Fizzle, Drill It, Big Razor Sexy, Jedig PSPS PCPS, Mimi's Nubs, LL86, Abysmald, The Crusher 1234, Count Dirty, Bobear 28, Mac Tooper, Nate Bowman. Now I'm lost. Fashionable Big Guy, RJO. Oh, wait, no, I went backwards. Amy J. Rock, Lawson Quick, LP Soldier, T. Biggs, Mikey Train, iTunes Universal Champion, Lord Herc, Bucktoothed MC, Claxino, Nate Bowman. Way too many letters here. Nick Fedler, Jamie Petrie, Turtle Slowman, Sportson Sun Devil, GTE00, Dr. Funder, Bingo Black, Jay Flores, Heel Chikoff, I think it's Kaufman, Brent243, Fastana, Jay Morg the Hero, Jay Dispirited, Boy Big 69, Spud32, Blizzard, 459, Sun Devil. Oh, I lost my place again. Anyways, I'll get some more of these later on, and I'll shout some more of these at another time.
Yeah.
There's so many of them.
Let's answer some questions.
Goat.
No. Eddie Jose Glorious Menevar.
Jose Jalapeno 97.
Hey, friendos. You two are going on a road trip from Sacramento to the Big Apple, New York City.
New York City?
However, you guys won't ride alone. Choose 5 superstars to join you in your XL Uber SUV.
That's way too many superstars.
That's a lot. Also, one of the 7 must drive the entire way. Who will volunteer? That's a long drive.
Why do you got to put that stipulation on us? Somebody's got to drive. One person has to drive the entire way. Well, it's not going to be me.
Not going to be me either. I don't want to drive that much.
Who's going to drive? Who do you think is a good driver?
John Cena.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, I know. But you know what? You're going to have to listen to his music or something. I don't listen to whatever he's got. I get my wireless headphones.
Seth Rollins.
Oh, yeah. Seth is good. Again, have to listen to his music.
So probably. Seth is one of the five. Seth. AJ Styles.
Seth. Oh, AJ for sure. Yeah, we need older guys.
People with good stories.
Oh, we need older guys. So
the club.
The club. The club and AJ. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Yeah. Shinsuke is probably funny too.
Yeah.
Yeah. There you go.
There you go.
That's a good five. Seth, the club, Shinsuke.
Yes.
Me Larson.
Yes, yes, and yes. CM Punk finds it insulting.
Finds it insulting.
WWE and New Japan have agreed to put on a one-time-only joint pay-per-view event pitting WWE stars against New Japan stars. We have been trusted to
book
the main event
it.
Of the show, as well as a seven-match undercard. Who wrestles who at this event, and does it take place at Madison Square Garden or the Tokyo Dome? Both. Both.
Oh, yeah. Oh, like...
WrestleMania 2.
At the same time, yeah. Oh, we're going to go now
alternate matches.
We're going to go now to... Who is it? Don Callis and Kevin Kelly?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to go now to... And why is Vince doing commentary? Who's the ticking time bomb going to fight?
Neville.
Oh, yeah, okay. Who is...
Kenny versus AJ.
Kenny versus AJ. No, triple threat. Kenny, AJ, Finn.
Okay. Who is Okada going to wrestle? Cena? Or is it Tanahashi Cena?
Tanahashi Cena.
So who is Okada? Okada Lesnar.
Okada Lesnar. Oh, that's a good one. Okada Lesnar. No, how about... Oh, okay. Okada Lesnar. Who's that young lion, that big dude?
I don't remember his name.
Kitamaru?
Yeah.
Kitsumaru. He can take on Braun Strowman.
There you go.
And
or Michael Elgin versus Braun Strowman.
Yeah. And then...
who is Yano going to wrestle? That's really the question.
Asuka.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the big question, Yano. The diddly doodler with WWE banning beach balls. What other item do you want to ban next? I like that CM Punk finds it insulting, responded with Roman Reigns.
Yeah, that was
funny.
Did
you see that tweet that Roman Reigns sent out? About because Sports Illustrated did a video for their Twitter or something like that. I think it was Sports Illustrated. And it was like asking fans why they hate Roman Reigns. And... They picked a bunch of guys who were just complete. And, like, it's just your stereotypical smark. Like, guys with, like, replica belts and just... Oh, Roman Reigns, he's not one of these... We're being spoon-fed, Roman Reigns. That kind of crap. And then Roman Reigns responded on Twitter and said, this question is for the kids out there. When you grow up, who would you rather be, Roman Reigns or one of these guys? I was like, pretty good burn there, Roman Reigns. So what items would you want the WWE to ban next?
I'm good on shark cages for a while.
Is there a preponderance of,
we've had two in the last like 6 months. That's good.
No, that's true. Are you talking about the Ellering one?
Oh, three then.
Where are you talking? Wait.
Wasn't Jericho in a match with
shark cage too? That's right. I like shark cages, so I'm not going to ban that, but I will
unless
ban.
The match takes place in the shark cage.
I'm trying to think what I would ban. I would ban those seats that we had to sit in at WrestleMania on the field.
You want every seat to be a plush, comfortable seat.
Give me, if I paid the money that I paid for that seat, I want them to wheel in a ton of Lazy Boys.
Mm.
That would have been amazing.
That is a fair point.
That those, and then kill those strobe lights.
Those seats weren't cheap.
And just sit back and be like, oh, yeah.
Connor Dunmore.
And I could just knock out right there. I could fall asleep right there.
Not with the lights flashing in your face. What call-ups
get rid of
come
those too.
For next Monday on Raw? Should there be an NXT call-up on Raw? Yes, Authors of Pain. The only reason, maybe they didn't bring him up because they wanted Cena to have the spotlight and didn't want to take the spotlight away from any other call-ups.
No Authors more call-ups until Mania.
Authors of Pain.
No more.
Fat Bastard Champ Alex Foster.
Fat Bastard. Fat ass.
Who would you send down to NXT for a change of gimmick?
Change of gimmick. Ew, Terrence Thompson said Dolph Ziggler.
Well, he's going to do all the gimmicks.
He's going to have a new gimmick. It's all the gimmicks.
All the gimmicks.
Send down to NXT for a change of gimmick. I don't like that general premise.
I don't either.
I don't like sending anybody down to NXT for a change of gimmick. Didn't do anything for Zack Ryder, really.
Nope. Or Emma.
Or Emma's I liked.
I like it, but it wasn't like...
Oh, it didn't she do anything for her.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It didn't help her.
You're right about
career.
That, but it did something for me in terms of my entertainment. And I guess Zack Ryder did too because he's in the hype, bro.
Summer Rae.
There you go. That's good. She ain't doing nothing.
Yep.
There aren't a lot of people who I'm like, oh, he's like, Bo Dallas. Send him back to NXT.
Yeah, he had a lot of success in NXT.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of Terrence Thompson, how long before Enzo makes 205 Live 100% unbearable?
How you doing? The second he wins the Cruiserweight title in a one-on-one match without hijinks.
What you're saying is the second they book him way stronger than they really should.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Tim Morris, do you think British Strong Style should join NXT as a faction? Short answer, yes. We'll get to that more on the debate show on Friday.
Short answer, no.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
You know, the funny thing is, I actually think they should be, but just not what I just, in that case, just get rid of the UK belt. Shouldn't be a UK belt if it's just going to be dudes on main roster. But we'll talk about that tomorrow.
I'm telling you.
Nicholas Groskirth says, Nikki Cross, spot of the year.
That's pretty good. Actually, I think Braun power slamming Brock Lesnar through two tables and then dumping another table on top of him.
Might be spot of the year.
At least in WWE.
Yeah. Let's see here. Oh, interesting question. Tommy T. We can save this. Are we still doing questions on Dirt Sheet? No? Okay. We'll do it here then. Nightcrawler Double T and myself were talking about the biggest day in wrestling history. He said he brought up the dual cast after WWF bought WCW. Nightcrawler thinks it's the first WrestleMania. Double T thinks it's the Montreal Screwjob. What's the biggest single day in wrestling history? And if you say anything but the day WWF bought WCW, you are wrong. Because it is definitely that day. I need a haircut this weekend. I need one big time.
The first thing that popped in my mind was WrestleMania 3, because that was the day that pro wrestling officially, without any confusion or ambiguity, crossed over into the mainstream. Because they sold out, at least that's what they said, the Pontiac Silverdome. 90,000 people set an indoor attendance record.
I don't think WrestleMania 1, Rock and Wrestling was a bigger day than that. That crossing the mainstream, Cyndi Lauper, Muhammad Ali.
But that, I mean, I feel like that was the start of it, or towards the beginning, whereas WrestleMania 3 was the peak of it. That was the peak of WWF's popularity, probably.
Biggest day in wrestling. WWF bought WCW.
I mean, that's pretty massive. I understand
that. Who's that day?
Luger debuting on the first Nitro.
I'm sorry. I stand corrected. Stand corrected. All right.
That's the correct answer. Charles Sips, considering their lack of use on SmackDown, should Mike and Maria have went the NXT route? Yes. Yes. 100% yes.
I'm trying. I'm agreeing with you. I'm trying to find a reason not to agree with you. My only reason.
The only reason not to agree is that there was already so many people on NXT at the time.
Well, there's that, but also, their actual debut, I thought, was pretty strong and didn't necessarily need the strong branding time that other people did.
But it would have helped if they had that.
Because their thing about like the power of love was such a strong and immediately recognizable gimmick. That's why I think it didn't need it. Although you are absolutely correct. It would have helped, and they would actually be relevant right now.
Imagine, Mike Bennett and Adam Cole, members of the Kingdom.
Yeah.
Feud there. Maybe Mike Bennett can align himself with this Ring of Honor re-dishonored faction that's going on.
We need a re-GFW faction.
Really don't.
Braxton Sutter, EC3, Moose. There you go.
Go to WWE and make an impact.
Yeah. That's terrible. Re-impact. Oh, man. Double T. Hey, guys. So, personally, I don't agree with how much you blame creative. He says, I think it is exactly 60% up to the talent to get what they are given over That is, I do not agree with that.
Yeah, I don't either.
But I respect your opinion.
Yes.
He continues, who in NXT do you think has a good chance of being fumbled once they get called up? Here's another thing about...
anybody.
Here's the thing, to counter the Maria and Mike thing, though, is that look at what they were able to do with Ty Dillinger in NXT, and where is he now?
Oh, I know.
And the same thing could have happened.
Oh, it could have, but at least they would have had the chance to achieve some measure of success in NXT before disappearing on the main roster.
That's true, and more people would be asking where they are than currently are. You're correct.
I mean, I could see them fumbling Aleister Black.
Really? I don't know, man.
How about like two consecutive weeks with a silly backstage segment involving him? I mean, it's easy to do him right, but how many characters seem so easy to do correctly on the main roster, they just screw it up?
Here's the thing with Aleister Black, that if they follow this template, they'll be totally fine.
Well, I'll tell you, here's the one right now. Bobby Roode, if they have him as a face...
Oh, no, yeah. They're not going to have him as a face.
I think on Cage Side Seats, their rumor ran up today said they might have his first feud, him work face. What sense does that make?
The sense is that the people will turn even more on him. They'll consider him a bigger heel if he turns as a face.
I don't think that's a good idea.
I don't know. It's probably a bad idea. Again, I try to be devil's advocate here, dude.
You're saying I'm the one that justifies things. I don't justify anything. I try to make sense of them.
No, sometimes you look too much into the benefit of the doubt.
It's not really true.
Sometimes.
Trying to understand things.
No, listen, just you. I'm trying to answer the question here. You said Aleister Black.
Yeah.
I say all they have to do is follow the Finn Balor template. Aleister Black is cool. You don't need an answer. He doesn't need to talk. He doesn't need to say anything. Just have him be the coolest guy because he just looks cool. And that's it. They've had Finn Balor in backstage segments, and he just doesn't say a lot. And everybody still thinks he's cool. That's all they got to do with Aleister Black.
I agree, but I'm saying, I think he's the one character that if they mess up, it's going to really be a detriment.
Yeah, maybe.
I think that was what I'm trying to say.
Do you think if they do the thing with him where that PWG skit where they use sticking his finger up somebody's butt, that'd be a problem?
Potentially. That works in PWG.
Oh, that was so fun.
Oh, it was hilarious.
It was great. And Pete Dunne was doing it. It was like a who's who.
I know. Sami Callihan was in there.
Oh, I know.
Jushin Liger.
It was great.
It was great. And then they did the slow-mo thing afterwards.
It's beautiful.
It is. All right, one more, and I'm hungry.
Uno mas. All right, we're going to go with D-Generation Lex Luger. It's a great name. D-Generation Lex! You are not X-Degeneration. Power rank, top five people. You would like to see called up to Maine by Mania 34.
One, Authors of Pain.
Authors of Pain.
Two,
Asuka.
Three, Ember Moon.
No, the iconic duo.
Four, Cassius Ohno.
Really?
Yeah, I'd love to see him on Maine.
I would love to see him on Maine. I really would. I just don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, I know.
I think he's always going to be in NXT. But that's a good one. Five.
Roderick Strong. Okay. On that note, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for joining us, everybody.
We'll talk to you later. Bye.